Welcome home. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Graham. And this podcast is the home ec class you wish you'd been offered.
We're two moms who've been real life best friends for more than two decades. We're trying to create gracious homes that are welcoming, but also functional, all while dealing with real life schedules, budgets, and children.
Stick with us and we'll share and show what we know, what we've learned, where we've messed up, and how to fix it. For everything we can't make up, we'll bring in the best experts we can find. You're listening to Welcome Home. On today's episode of Welcome Home, it's FAQ Day. Not just questions from listeners, but all the questions we get from our families, questions we ask ourselves, maybe even questions you're asking yourselves.
Plus, how Shriners became the unofficial charity partner of the podcast, why more women should take up bowling, and why a pajamagram is not on Graham's list, but it should be. This is Welcome Home.
Welcome home, Kirsten.
Oh, welcome home to you, Graham. It's been a while.
Top of the morning.
People don't. Okay, here's an FAQ. Oh, well, maybe I'm jumping the gun because I'm very excited because we haven't taped in a long time.
And you got to choose our topic. So you're very happy.
Well, let's go back. So we have had a lot of guests who've been lovely, wonderful, interesting. And I've got a few more really good guests coming up. But Graham and I haven't done just the two of us episode in a while.
But I think we're going to do a lot of them this summer. I want to do a lot of you and me. I think that's fun.
We're running out of things to talk about.
Dubious.
Yeah, good point. Well, we talk about a lot of things. We just don't talk about a lot of things we're comfortable putting on the internet. Is that a better way to phrase it?
Very fair. Which you would be surprised. Like probably people are listening to this being like, that's very public. I can't believe you're putting that on the internet. And yet there's so much we filter.
You have no idea what we say when we're not being taped.
Yeah.
Okay, so we were trying to come up with the topic for today, and we called one of our favorite listeners. And you guys, those of you who are hardcore Welcome Home fans that go all the way back to the Home Hour, you remember when we used to talk a lot about remodeling, and we had Jennifer Brigham on the show. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She did a wonderful job.
She was remodeling a house, and it was fun because we did like a real life, like an HGTV comes to Welcome Home. And so anyway, so we called her and said, what should we do for today's episode? And she said, well, I'm sure you guys get a ton of people emailing you their questions. Why don't you do an FAQ episode? And I laugh because we haven't had anyone ask us a question in a really long time.
They comment. They don't really ask. Well, we haven't invited questions.
We haven't invited questions. But the truth is we used to say all the time, ask us questions and we would get them.
Well, you know, Sweet Mary Alice, our wonderful editor slash intern, put in our, did you even listen to one of the episodes? She inserted our email address in there.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, she recorded a little blip and put our email address in there.
Like our personal email?
The show email, doofus. Oh. Move along.
Anyway, so we don't have any questions because we haven't been asking you for your questions in a while. But we do, we are open to questions. But we said, well, why don't we just do an episode anyway on questions?
So it's FAQ day. So frequently asked question day on Welcome Home. But these are just questions that we get from our families, from our friends. We obviously, you know, Kirsten and I love asking questions. So we thought we would ask some questions of each other, but also just kind of larger questions that we're sure anyone listening probably gets asked as well. So we think it'll resonate.
Mm-hmm. So we haven't talked about this before. We're just going in cold.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to start? You want to kick it off of top questions we get from our spouses on a daily basis?
Yes. Yeah, well, here's the other thing about this episode. Graham and I were talking about this. So, you know, I'm in graduate school.
Yes.
And I'm in graduate school for counseling, and it's a very self-reflective program. So we've had these very deep talks with these people and, you know, who I've been in class with now for a year and a half, almost 2 years. And at this point, we all know each other very well. We know about like childhood traumas and pivotal moments in our life and incredible relationships and deeply held beliefs. But the professors don't know us. So every 10 weeks, we have to start over. And it's always these like very, you know, what's like the question I got the other day was like, what's your favorite caffeinated beverage? Like coffee, like someone got dogs or cats, you know, and it's like, we know all about it. So it's so funny how questions like, but I also am always like surprised by what's your fun fact, because you feel like you know people so well.
I love that. Well, I was going to save that for later, but I'll tell you. So the other day I was doing a Zoom call with a bunch of people, and I think I maybe had mentioned I'm running for city council here in Alabama where we live. but it was kind of like an introduction. And I hate
Zoom. Glossed over that very big piece of news.
Well, this is more of a national show. So that's a local thing that I'm doing, which is fun and exciting and lovely. But they were asking a question, and I should have been better prepared for it. I actually feel badly about that. But they said, say something unique about yourself, you know, and I was trying to make it germane to the topic of my running for city council. So I think I gave some stupid answer like, you know, my parents have served locally in their community, you know, and I grew up like attending meetings and watching it, you know, like something that showed that maybe I had a history in doing this before,
right,
which
you're
is
trying
true.
To make it relevant.
Right. But then I said, you know what, that nobody cares. Like, that's not interesting to people. That's not really something unique. Like, what would I answer in that, that question? And I finally realized my answer is that I know how to drive really weird cars. Like, I can drive a Model T. I can drive those cars that, you know, you see, remember that movie Nutty Professor that have like cranks on the gear shift and buttons and levers and all that kind of stuff. And I should have said that, because the truth is I guess if people vote for me, I'd throw in driving in parades for free. Like, I drive all the wacky cars in the parades.
That is shockingly relevant to the job you're applying for.
Shocking relevant skill that people might not know is, like, I can drive odd antique cars that people, you know, like, you have to crank the motor under the hood. I know how to do that.
You have a heart for local politics and...
Do you ever see the movies where the people drive those really small cars wearing those really big hats? Like, I don't know what they're called. Yes. Some sort of club or something, right?
Yeah.
In parade.
Yes, they are very little cars.
Yeah, like those tiny, it's like men who wear big top hats. And I feel like they wear maybe a vest or something, like a colorful vest.
I very much pictured Daisy Buchanan driving.
Yeah, and they drive, but like insanely small cars, like almost bumper size car, mm-hmm. bumper car size. Mm-hmm. What is that club? Like, what is that group of people? And where does one find them?
Do you want me to Google it?
Yeah, I feel like we need
little,
to know.
I don't even know what you would call it. Little car club?
Little car people in parade wearing
little top, parade cars.
Wearing special hats. Like, it's definitely a group.
That's not how you Google things.
Little you know, no, here. That's 100% how you Google things.
There's a little car company in Bicester, UK.
That reminds me of another great episode. Remember when we did Tiny Houses? Yeah. We need to bring those guys back on. In case anyone's going back in the reservoir of our...
Why do we need to bring them back?
Oh, that was a wonderful. I thought that was fascinating. We did all about people who build tiny houses. You know, houses that are like 200 square feet, not even.
Yes, no, I know. It was interesting, but I think we covered it because we're never going to live in a tiny house.
I don't know. My husband really wants to get a tiny house.
Okay, well, here's what happens when you Google little cars.
Okay.
The Cozy Cute pops up. $64.99 at Target.
You're a terrible Googler. I would think you'd be better than this.
No. Oh, a bat. Anyway, I'm mostly getting kids.
Okay, wait. So I interrupted you and I apologize because you usually get dinged for interrupting. You were talking about your
I was just saying this idea of like having to be in situations with people where you have to do this, like, and the example I gave was people I feel like I've gotten to know very well, but sometimes it's strangers, sometimes it's not strangers, but like this idea of like, tell us a fun fact about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, what is, and we'll go back.
You have to have something ready for that answer. Everyone has their odd repertoire of how to answer that.
But here's the problem. That's a lot of pressure because you are supposed to have something ready. And like, it's like, if it was off the cuff, then my answer doesn't have to be that good.
Shriners. They're the Shriners. And I Googled it. What is the group that rides in tiny cars and parades wearing tall hats? And it came up immediately. They're the Shriners.
Are the Shriners people who work with like children's hospitals?
I believe they
Shriners
are.
Hospitals for children.
Yeah.
And little cars.
Yeah, they do. There's no big history or ritual behind the little cars, but they do help the Shriners distinguish themselves in parades. Oh, yes, it's exactly the Shriners. The grown men wearing fezzes squeeze into tiny cars driving in circles, delighting children along the parade route and giving their parents a chuckle. There go the Shriners again.
I was thinking a very different little car. I was thinking more like a car club. Wow, those Shriners do have little cars. How do you how do you get a car that little?
Right. So the next question, that makes me think, like, where do we get those tiny cars that the Shriners drive?
Big guys, little cars. Shriners return to the parade.
Yeah. They're a charitable organization born out of the Freemasons with almost 200 temples around the world and 300,000 members. The fraternity is based on fun fellowship and the Masonic principles of brotherly love, relief, and truth.
Here's the problem. They're all old. Like, Are the Shriners going to die out?
That's another question. Are they, how's their recruiting going?
I know. Should we get our husbands in the Shriner? Wait, why is it all male? Do we need to like glass ceiling the Shriners?
Anyway, I digress,
okay.
But
wait,
I could.
Wait, okay, stop. Table this because I'm not done with the Shriners. There's so much more to say about this. Let's look into it. Grimp, add it to your notes. Okay. Your imaginary notebook that you keep where we have all of our good ideas. Okay.
You have to be a Mason in order to be a Shriner. I'm looking at this. Oh, and I have to say they were really helpful in eradicating polio. That's kind of one of their main causes.
Aww.
Yeah.
No, they're little cars. I'm on board. I'm very much on board with all of this. Okay.
It's pure entertainment. So the little cars are pure entertainment for the children in parades. But all I'm saying is if a Shriner ever needed me to pitch in and drive one of those tiny cars, I could totally do it.
We all know I couldn't. Okay. So, Graham. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what people might not know? Well, okay. Wait, anyway, here's the goal. I don't have a good fun fact because I find it to be very stressful because it's like you should have one in your back pocket. And I just don't. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know one about you is your odd love of the ocean where you flail your body in.
I do love the... But like,
Kirsten doesn't swim gracefully. She just throws herself into the ocean.
But I love the ocean is not a good fun fact. So we'll go back to Jen, who was the inspiration for this episode. Mm-hmm. She always has a great fun fact. Jen has never drank in a cup of coffee. She doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm. No such word as drank in. Keep going.
She's never drunk a cup of coffee.
Had a drink of coffee.
She's never tried coffee.
Great.
Yeah, she doesn't like coffee. She doesn't drink coffee. And she was born on the 4th of July.
Oh, that's fun. That's a good one.
Yeah, those are good fun facts. I have nothing like that. I love coffee. That's not a fun fact.
But that's
I was born
pleasant.
On October 6th. No one cares.
You break for reenactments. That's true.
I broke for one reenactment because I'd never seen one.
Well, but they're hard to find. They're not easy to find. That means we love reenactments of any level. And there are a lot of those in Virginia. And so we'd always stop for those.
Focus. Okay. Questions. Mm-hmm. Top questions we get from our spouse on a daily basis.
Well, we're getting old now. So we get a lot of that. What?
Oh, do you want to hear something funny? Yeah. So I said, I've been telling Boots that he can't hear. I'm like, you, there's no shame in it. You know, he was in the military. He led a mortar patrol. I'm like, clearly your hearing has been severely damaged, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen, you have to go get hearing aids. And he went to some ear specialist store. He went to some fancy guy in New York City and the guy was like, yeah, your hearing's perfect. And he's like, why did you couldn't hear? And he's like, wait, let me guess. Did your wife say you can't hear? And everyone in the office started laughing. And he's like, yeah, we get like 12 of you guys a day. It's like, you can hear fine. It's really a thing.
We get 12 of you guys a day.
Yeah, guys with perfect hearing whose wives make them go see a specialist because... Because
they're just ignoring us.
Yeah, they're totally just ignoring us. So that's what. So what questions we ever ask? Mostly, what's that? That's the question I get all the time from my spouse. What's that? And now we know he hears perfectly.
Oh, that makes me very happy. What are the questions you get from your? I get one. Can I have a smoothie? So he always like wants me to make him a smoothie. Let's see.
Does Harrison not know how to make a smoothie on his own?
No, he does. He would just prefer if I made it for him. So. Yeah, he totally knows. They know how to do all these things. I deputize my children. Like yesterday, we were at a lacrosse game and it's very, okay, here's a question that I think is funny. Like, how do you handle things that I guess could be potentially publicly embarrassing with your children, right? But at the same point in time, you don't want to make a big stink over it in public, but then you also don't want to show that you're backing down as a parent. Here's my example. So yesterday, Patton had finished a lacrosse game. It was cold. It was late. Like we had been obliterated. We had just lost horribly. And so we were walking off the field and Patton had given me everything. Like, oh, you know how much gear lacrosse gear is, right? Yeah. So there I was carrying the stick, the pads, the bag, the water bottle,
and
my purse.
So good too. That's a delight for the senses, lacrosse gear.
Oh yeah. And I'm wearing flip-flops. So like my feet were cold. It was just bad. And then all of a sudden I realized that like, wait a minute. No other child is marching across this field not carrying their gear, right? Like mm-hmm. I'm the only mom who this child just literally thrown his gear at. So I just nicely said, Patton, you need to carry this. I'm not doing it. And then I just dropped it all in the middle of the field and walked away. Do you ever do stuff like that? I wasn't going to have a showdown of like, you need to take this right now. Because I know with Patton, he'll just be like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to blah, 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 blah. So I just dropped it and left it. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Do you ever just drop their stuff and move on?
So this is so interesting. So this is like one of the biggest things my husband and I fight about in our marriage is he like cannot stand a scene. Like, you know, and like I was raised by Dick Gladding. So like I'm used
you
to
love a scene.
I don't love a scene, but like I'm immune to scenes. Like
you're immune to scenes.
There's nothing you can do to embarrass me in public more than I've already been embarrassed. So like
I know my father was arrested in Peter Luger's. I mean, he had his Luger's card rescinded. Okay, keep going.
Right. You and I Graham and I raised
it's mortifying. Scene.
Yeah, totally. Like my whole childhood is like, oh gosh, Dad, please don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say
that.
Okay,
he wasn't fully arrested, but nevertheless, the court, it was a showdown of epic proportions.
My dad's been kicked out of nicer places than this.
Way
so,
nicer.
Anyhow, but yeah, so my tolerance for scenes is much higher than Boots is.
Mine too.
Yeah. So I don't think like I'm making a scene. Like I would not call that a scene. Like if I saw mom doing that, I would be like, oh
yeah, no big deal. Yeah. I don't care. Exactly. But people
to be mortified.
Oh, I know. And things that people think of as a scene are like nothing to me. They're a drop in the hat, right? Like for me, I think for you and I, like a scene would be us just hysterical, crying, like stomping our feet or something along the line, something very, very dramatic. Like maybe a circle of people around us. Like that's what it would constitute to be a scene in my mind. But
totally.
People have a much lower threshold for what constitutes.
Totally. Yeah. Well, scene. We were raised by very hardcore scene makers.
Scene makers. Scenesters. Not to be confused with Shriners. Although my dad would love a tiny car and a large
My dad would love a tiny car. Okay. Right.
Why do we even bother with show outlines? That's the question.
I don't know. Okay, wait. Can I flip that question?
Okay.
What question do you constantly give to your spouse on a daily basis?
Oh, I have questions that happen during time of day. Like his job now has become to let the dog out of the crate. Right in the morning, because you know, she can sleep a little later. So basically, it's actually gotten bad because you realize things are off kilter when you don't even greet your spouse in the morning. You just like greet him with a question, right? Instead of like, good morning, hello. The first thing I say is, did you let the dog out?
That's funny. The last thing we say every night is, did you set the alarm?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Or did you, yeah, say, did you turn off all the lights?
I say, wake up alarm or burglar alarm? And I know he thinks it's funny that I call the security alarm a burglar alarm, but I like it.
Yeah, it is a burglar alarm. What are you talking about?
Well, he's like, you mean the security alarm? Burglar alarm. I mean, the other question I asked my spouse, since he's not very good with telling time. I'm actually, this is a fun fact I've given, is that I always know exactly what time it is. Like to the minute, I'm constantly, I'm the most time sensitive person.
I think I'm pretty good with that too.
Yeah, I always know what time it is. I'm just on it, and I'm very good at gauging time, like how long.
Me too. I'm an excellent gauge of time. Well, and also my thing is I'm really good at, like, adding in all of the steps that would be needed. So like I'm usually relatively punctual, right? Like I know that if I have to be somewhere at 5 o'clock, and you know that I have to get the appetizer ready, get the kids loaded into the car. Like I think about all the steps that are required for me to do everything that's needed to get somewhere by 5.
Right. And I'm not saying I'm good at time management. Like, it's not like I'm excellent at that. I'm just saying that I always am aware of the time, how long things will take. But Boots is the opposite. He does not, he's not great with time. He gets really focused on something. So our new question we ask every single day is, what train are you taking home? And it's the same conversation every day. I'm like, which train are you on? And he's like, oh my gosh, it's already 5:30. And he's always so surprised. It's 5:30 comes out of him. He's shocked every time. I think, like, have you had lunch yet? And he's like, oh, I forgot. Like, he just does no concept.
He goes down a rabbit hole, but that's good. I mean, it takes all types, right? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of realized that. I guess mine is
to our children.
Like, what's your schedule for today? Because now that he works at home, I'm always kind of curious. Like, that's a big thing too, is like, are you going to be home for when like the kids get home from school? I feel like we're now in that stage where we have people coming and going from our house all day long. And so it's kind of like, you know, how's the day going to unfold?
Does he work from home all the time now?
Primarily, he works from home a decent amount. I mean, he has a full office here, so... I mean, which is fabulous for me because he just does his thing. But, you know, I can quickly say, hey, the groceries were dropped off. Please bring them in really fast. You know, put the milk in the fridge, that type of thing. Mm. It's wonderful.
It's really different. It's really weird. Like to go from like having my husband work a couple blocks away, and like we were, you know, pre-COVID in Phoenix, we were on a schedule where like he would take the kids to school because it was on the way to his office, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like he'd go, the kids would go, everyone would go. And then like, you know, the kids would come home and then he would come home, and it was like, I had big chunks of time to myself. Mm-hmm. And then it was like 2 years of working from home. And now he like really works far away. You know, now it used to be like a 5 minute drive, and now it's like,
yeah, that's a big deal. I can't believe, you know? Yeah, that's amazing. Your husband's single-handedly saving New York City downtown working life. Hats off to him.
Okay, we have a sponsor today, and it is one of our true favorites. We have sold so many of these Aura frames to family and friends, and no one has been upset. Everyone.
Well, I feel like that's what people know. I have people all over who come up and say, we like your show, but we really like our Aura frames.
I have so many. Like, we have friends text us and be like, hey, do you really like those frames? We're like, yep, get it. It's amazing. So, you know, we're genuine people. We don't take sponsors we don't like, but this truly is one of our favorite products. It was named the number one digital frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things 3 years running. That is guaranteed to make mom smile. 3 years running is actually like quite a coup. Well done, Aura
Frame. It's the perfect Mother's Day gift. Basically, it's a digital frame. You plug it in. It is like cake brainless to set up. It is a great price point. Very, very affordable frames. Lots of different designs, lots of different colors, and you can just set it up anywhere. And like you were saying, I think at one point, Kirsten, that it's great to give someone maybe if they're in an office all day long, because what's cool is like my kids can send them pictures throughout the day.
Right. Or we gave them both my husband and I gave them to our parents. And we also gave the codes, like the apps to not gave, but we told all the siblings to download the app. So they're getting photos sent from all the family, not just from the people they really like who gave them the frame.
From now until Mother's Day, listeners can save on the perfect gift and visit AuraFrames.com. That's AuraFrames.com. And if you use the code Welcome Home, all one word, Welcome Home, you'll get up to $40 off while supplies last. Terms and conditions apply.
That's actually an excellent deal. We know by this point you probably still need a Mother's Day gift, so do not delay. She will be happy. And I don't think Graham and I, either one of us, have what we say, techie moms.
We don't have techie moms. This is if you have non-tech people who you want to do something cool for. This is a no-brainer.
Yes, it is. We swear it's easy to use and they'll love it. All right. Thank you, Aura Frames. Great product, great company.
You know what? A question I don't get, which actually makes me happy, is I think I'd be really annoyed if someone asked me every day what was for dinner.
Oh, I get that every day. How do you not get that?
Really? I never get that.
Not for my spouse, but for my kids. And it's not even like what's for dinner. It's is something gross for dinner? Or like, am I going to hate dinner? There's always like a negative spin on the way they ask. It's not what's for dinner, mom. It's
Is it going to be right? Is it going to be something that makes me angry? Yeah, I get that every now and then. I get that from my kids. I just don't get that from my spouse.
We've split into the next question on our outline, which is top questions we get from kids. I will tell you what I get more than anything else is, I get, is there cheese in that?
Is that a good or bad thing?
No. Because it's like he can smell cheese. I made cheese in my breakfast this morning, and he went and stood outside till I was done cooking because he didn't like the smell of it.
What? But will he eat it?
No, God, no. He will like pick out every little grain of
cheese. Is our primary food
group. It's the best food ever. You know, it's my favorite food.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we live on cheese. So, is there cheese in that? I have to.
That's challenging.
Eat. You think? Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't eat cheese or tomatoes, which means no Italian, no Mexican.
Oh, but no derivation of tomatoes, like ketchup,
marinara
sauce.
No,
tricky. Ketchup? So no pizza. Oh, that's very tricky.
No, he will eat pizza. That's the only exception, which is obnoxious, like totally obnoxious. Like, it's not medicinal. It's just being a pain.
That's crazy. Mine is, mom, can you get me a hoodie? I get that a lot. And
get me a hoodie.
When can I have screens? That's a biggie. And mom, will you rebound for me? Which I think is, I get a lot. Like rebound, it's the worst job. I don't understand why anyone would want to do this. And I get asked this every single day. You basically have to stand like virtually under the basketball net. So like, so basically, and you never know like where the basketball is going to bounce. I actually find it to be a very painful, terrible job to do.
Yeah, no, you say yes to wager.
You're like things. You're like the ball returner, basically.
Yeah, no, the answer is no, I will not rebound.
And it's
for
so
you.
Ridiculous. It's so they can play faster.
No, right? No, like, that's stupid. I'm sorry. You need the answer is no, I can't.
Well, but that's like how he, you know, but then you think to yourself, is growing up, this is how they want to play with me. You know, they're including me. So I try. No, I attempt
using to. You.
I feel like it's like a job for dads. No, mom should not be rebounding.
It's a job for the back of the ball.
Right, the backboard.
The back of the backboard. That's not a human job. That's a back that can be done by
people. No, if you watch guys play basketball, there's people, the men rebound for each other. It's a thing.
Is it?
Yes, it's totally a thing. And I get it all the time. I get that question probably more than anything.
Okay, hey, real quick. I just want you to know that beep that you just heard.
I didn't hear
all it. Recipes sends me about 45 different recipes a day as little pop-ups like that.
Okay.
I don't want them. I don't know how to get it off. Old-fashioned strawberry pretzel salad. I don't need that recipe.
No, you do not. Although we do need to do a food episode. I think that would be really important. We'll do that next.
Top question for kids. I also get, like, does this match? My daughter's very concerned about whether or not her pants match her shirt.
Oh, I wish my children were concerned about that.
Well, I boys don't care. But
on my to-do list right now, actually, is get a full-length mirror for the kids' room. I realize, like, how can I make fun of their outfits every day if, like, they don't have an opportunity to have a full-length mirror?
Very good point. But here's the problem is she asks me constantly, does this match? But it's not like I can tell her. It's like there's a right answer or a wrong answer.
Well, there is a right answer or a wrong answer.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know what it is.
Well, you could just tell her how you could fix up pieces. She could send me a picture.
No. You know what? No, she doesn't say, does this match? She says, does this look good? Well, and I'll say, yeah, that looks good. No, it doesn't. Or does that look good? No. Yes, it does. So it's not like.
Does she have a full-length mirror in her room?
She does. She does. But it's okay. Not. It's not like she wants my opinion. It's like I have to guess the right answer that she already knows.
That sounds like a mom minefield.
There's no point in me being here for this question.
Okay. That's a good one.
Top questions we get tired of answering about ourselves.
Tired of answering about ourselves. So I think you had a kind of lead on this one. I feel like it's when people ask you, you know, when they're just meeting you and they're trying to figure out like who you are, kind of puts you into a little box, I guess. Yeah.
I get asked constantly. And it's also, I feel like the other thing that goes into this same question is what rhetorical questions are we getting tired of answering too? Because so many of those questions that you get asked that are like repetitive and boring are rhetorical. So I get asked constantly, whoa, you moved from Phoenix to Connecticut? That must be a big move.
Or I've been fielding that for a decade though.
Yes. Yeah, so. Some variation of like, that's quite a change.
Mm-hmm. But that's just people trying to be pleasant and make conversations.
No, of course. Like these are just, yeah, I'm not like those jerks asking me that. It's just like,
right now.
Like I'm tired of that conversation.
Right. And then you've got to go into your little song and dance about why it's not so crazy.
We were always going to move before COVID and it just happened and we were going to open New York.
Right. And like, I went to school in the Northeast or, you know, exactly. I have mine too.
It's a very small thing to complain about, but you know, we're allowed to.
Absolutely. No, so I guess mine would be the similar too, is, you know, what's it like moving here? And I'm like, well, my mom's from small town South Carolina. I'm used to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Also, I get asked constantly. I mean, I get asked like not me as much, but I hear all the time people asking, you know, why is your name Boots? Where'd you get the name Boots?
Is that her name? I had never heard that before.
Is Boots your real name? So
this is for her husband. So wait, what's the answer? I always forget. It's just his nickname, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's just a nickname.
He's had since he was a baby.
Okay. I like it.
I've only known him as Boots.
Okay. I like it.
But I'm sick of the question.
What are your go-to small talk questions?
You know what I think sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we were in a sorority? In college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we, you know, for those of you, I'm like waiting for our listeners to answer us. Were you guys in sororities?
Yeah.
you can't talk back. Bummer. I was thinking about how we had to do like all those cuckoo songs and dances.
Oh yeah. Those were fun. I like those.
They were fun.
We still remember this. I know exactly where you're going with this. I know that you're tired. I know that you're hot.
We know that you're hot. We won't ask your dorm because you get that a lot.
Yeah.
Which one? Why? Like, I love it. Like, we're going to sing and dance. Will you join our club?
That was a non sequitur that I didn't, as someone who didn't have a mother who was in a sorority and had no concept of what Rush was.
Yeah. And it was like, here, come over here. We made up a dance routine. Will you be our friend? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It would have been really helpful if someone had given me some anticipatory guidance ahead of Rush. I mean, I felt like I was in a giant play the entire time. I had no clue what I was
up to. No idea. And remember, I just knew that you got a suit for Rush.
Yeah, a black funeral suit. So my mother had no idea. And that was I remember she bought me a full black suit for Rush.
Yeah, and I remember being so stressed out because I'm like, I don't have a business suit because I'm 18 and I'm going to watch adult women sing and dance. So like, I didn't know I needed a suit for this.
Fortunately it worked out, but I don't think we knew what we were up to.
No, we had no idea. But anyway, yeah. So I always, in the back of my mind, when I go to cocktail parties, in the back of my mind, I'm always singing that. We won't ask your dorm because you get that a lot.
So am I. I think we both are.
Yeah. But I wish that was like a life motto. We won't ask why your husband's name is Boots because you get that a lot.
Yeah. Or no, but I do it too. I mean, you know, talking about the weather, I think that's common. But then I'll always go to travel. Like, I'll think about what the next upcoming like break is from school or whatever.
Oh, totally.
And also, yeah, I mean, that's always easy.
What are you guys doing for fall break? Yeah.
How was spring break? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I actually care about the answer. I love hearing about people's trips. So
I know you do. You do.
But then like it gets obnoxious sometimes because we do love to travel. So people will say lovely things, you know, like I went to the beach and I kind of know about the beach. You know, there's not much follow up for the beach.
Was there sand?
But then you're hoping it doesn't get thrown on you, you know, thrown back your way.
Why?
Because I'm always like, we went to France or Slovenia or somewhere odd, you know, and then it's like, you don't want to seem obnoxious.
I know, but you, that's your thing. You love to
travel. That's our thing, right?
I just don't, by the way, I'm making an executive decision. You know, I've never liked to travel that much. Like, I've always been like, I've always been gone kind of kicking and screaming because it seems like a lot of work, but then I'm always glad I did it and it was a good experience. But travel has gotten miserable.
Oh, I know. It's been a little miserable these days. Yeah.
Did I even tell you about my travel?
No, your spring break? Oh, yeah. But Kirsten, how was your spring break? I forgot to ask.
See, you've already asked me a bunch of existential questions before we got on the air, but you don't ask me about my spring break. So let me just one.
I thought you said it was fun.
Ridiculously expensive. It is ridiculously. I mean, I know everything is right now, but like we did not go on like an elaborate vacation. We went to visit both sets of grandparents, which I guess that's two trips in one, but like, you know, we didn't rent cars.
Right, but that's you stayed in the United States, right? You were.
Yeah, we stayed in the United States. We didn't, I mean, it was like, if you can, like when you're staying with family and you're not renting cars, like that's pretty like affordable.
Yeah.
It was like going to a resort or a hotel or, you know.
Right, of course.
No, so all of this was whatever, and it was still crazy expensive. Our flights were a fortune. Somehow Hugh's flight got lost. And when we got to the airport and like they're like, we have no record of this. And so four of us had tickets, one of us didn't. So we had to buy Hugh a ticket day of on the plane.
You're not the first person. If was it Southwest by any chance? Because I've heard of them pulling this with another family, actually. Because someone actually just told me about this. Okay, it wasn't you.
This was like, Kirsten, how could you have forgotten to book?
I don't think I did either. They're losing. I don't know. Maybe it was a computer glitch or something.
Okay. Cause we had to buy him a ticket the day of, which was not cheap. And then our other flight, which was United, one day the Wi-Fi did not work.
The horror.
No. Well, I mean, when you're
flying cross country.
Like in this day and age where you're, you know, everyone's got their iPad all charged up. Let's go. Like you're not bringing coloring books like you used to. Mm-hmm. Right. And then to have no Wi-Fi, no movies, nothing. So we're just sitting there looking like doing nothing for 3 hours. And then our flight got delayed 2 hours, then 4 hours, then 6 hours.
Well, I think I told you this, like, I think that this is a really good time to kind of take a knee on travel because everyone's got so much pent up travel aggression and they're kind of going at it full bore that everything is more expensive. Everything's a little more of a hassle and we're not used to it because it's been so quiet for so long.
Well, I think what happened is like they're understaffed now.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were waiting, the plane was there, but we were waiting for a crew. Anyway, it also was interesting because I realized like taking the last flight of the day is dangerous because we missed our connection. So we had to stay at a hotel in Houston and get up at, you know, we got in at like 11 o'clock at night, had to get up at 5 to get our flight.
Ooh, like, that's rough.
The whole plane went to the same hotel. So like, we're all like standing in line for the, you know.
Ooh, that sounds horrible.
It was a bad day. Yeah. And you're like, what am I doing this for? I wore the same clothes for like 3 days. All my stuff was checked, you know, so we didn't have like a toothbrush. Like it was just first world problems for sure. But like, it wasn't fun. It's fine if it's like, okay, well, I really am persevering because this is my job or this is, but when it's supposed to be, you know, for fun, you're like, this isn't fun. So anyway, and then also, you know what else too?
Yeah.
I don't know how people like, I always used to do a lot more traveling, I think by car. But now I feel like we're doing a lot more traveling by air and maybe it's no, you know what it is? I know what it is. It's because we don't have family by us. We used to just leave dogs with family. Boarding dogs is a pain.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's expensive. And it's like, I feel guilty the whole time.
Hi everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, questions we ask ourselves. Ooh, are these like existential questions?
I'm going to let them see how excited you got. That's why you're meant to be a counselor.
No, what are your questions you asked yourselves?
I don't know. That's so personal. I don't know. I think there's always the basic. Am I doing enough? Am I, you know, doing things correctly? You know, as I see, like in my personal mind, how they should be done. Let's see.
What am I here for? Does any of this matter? Does anyone love me? Am I worthy? All those things. Yeah, just the minor.
Like how that just rolled off your tongue. I mean, yeah. I
mean, is this mundaneness? Is there an afterlife? All those little ones. Are we...
I don't know. Do you have any answers, Kirsten?
What did you do for spring break?
Yeah. Do you think it's going to rain later today? Well, what I need a light jacket.
Oh, questions we wish we could ask other people we meet, but feel awkward asking.
I mean, my question always is like, how did you bankroll that? That would be my number one. It's like, I look at people all the time and like, I'm just not seeing it. Like, how? That would be my number one question.
That is my number one question. I wish we could just go to people and be like, that house is insane.
Who's funding that? Right? Like where, or why did you choose to make that financial decision? I think about numbers and money a lot. Just, I don't know. It's just like where my brain likes to go. So I'm always like, A, how did you do that? B, how did you like come, how did you structure the deal such that you got to that point? And then B, do you think that was the wisest and best use of funds? That's what...
Okay. I'll tell you okay. Some that are very similar. Wow. Well, I'll just be really honest. Like, do you feel a little guilty about that?
You think that to other people?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. So you meet a lot of people you think should feel guilty about things?
Maybe that's my own stuff.
Yeah, that's more. I wonder if you feel guilty. See, I never.
Well, I feel guilty about everything. And it's like, I'm amazed the people who aren't, you know.
I think that's what it is. It's like, I don't really spend a lot of time judging other people. That's why I guess I get really annoyed by people who are very judgmental of other people.
No, wait. Go back because
I know you're not judging.
I'm not saying I'm judging people. I'm like jealous of like
their lack of judging, their lack of guilt,
their lack of self-criticism.
I know. You've always been.
That's what it is.
Yes, because you self-criticize, and I love you so much, but you do. And I'm like, you need to go easier on yourself.
No, I know. I'm working on it. I'm working on it, Graham.
Yeah, you totally need to go easier on yourself. But the converse of that is I really don't go around judging many people because I don't really go around judging myself that much.
Yes, the self-compassion is there and the compassion for others. But wait, I want to make it clear that I'm not judging other people. I'm like, wow, that's enviable. How do you do that?
Right. I like that. Well, you're a very kind person.
I'm okay.
You're very kind. All right. I have a lightning round of questions that I want to ask you.
Okay.
When I pull it up.
Wait. Okay, wait. Real quick, though, the other question. No, never mind. I feel too awkward even for you.
Go, hit it.
Some people just like aren't aging. I want to be like,
genius. Like, oh, yes.
Work done. I'm just going to be honest. And again, like that sounds like I'm judging, but it's not. It's like just jealousy and curiosity. Like, seriously.
Right. Like, what are you doing? Right.
We'll have the body of a 12-year-old, you know?
Right.
Are you on here? Because I clearly look like I've given birth. Like, come on.
What are you doing? Yeah. Are you really, do you go to bed hungry every night? Are you pumping things into your face? Like, how are you doing this?
Yes. I just want to know. What's going on?
Well, and that's the funny thing. My mom told me one time that it was rude to ask people like where they got, like where their clothing was from. You know, like if you got a shirt for you that you saw on someone that you liked, that you should never ask them where it was from. And I always thought, well, that's annoying. Why is that? I didn't really believe her anyway, but sometimes you just want to know.
Right. You just want to ask them how much it cost.
Well, me, no. Sometimes I just want to know where it was from, you know?
Excuse me, was that on sale? You feel guilty you spend that much money. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Awkward lightning round. Let's do this.
All right. Here's my question for you. What else are you doing today? I'm just curious.
Today I have to do some work for school.
Okay.
And what else am I doing today? I've got to do a lot of carpooling today. We've got a lot of sports. I have a class. I really need to shower.
Fair. Okay.
But my hair is like doll hair. Like it's doing the thing, like, you know, when you like the, you know, the sad Barbie at the bottom of the Barbie thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whose hair was like had awkward curls in it.
Yes, because I have similar
Barbie
hair
at the bottom of the bun hair. So I've got to go shower and I have a meeting with a nutritionist who we might talk more about. Because she's got
a lot of fascinating.
Yeah. It's like hormonal balancing for old people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's
we've got old
topic.
People things now. So I'm going to talk to her and mostly just schoolwork and mom stuff.
Okay. What else? What'd you make your kids for breakfast?
Oh, this was great. I made them, according to them, I made eggs with dog poop bits in it. Which was a hit, as you can tell. And it was not okay. So I made dinner yesterday for a friend who had just had a baby. Uh-huh. And so I made steak, grilled flank steak, really go-to recipe. If anyone needs it, just direct message us because it's the best, easiest steak. But I had like one piece of steak left over. So I made scrambled eggs and I put little bits of steak in it.
That's lovely. You're an excellent cook.
You're very sweet to that. Here's a hot tip, by the way. We were sharing hot tips this weekend in the kitchen. And you know what I've been doing? The night before, I take a bunch of eggs and I put them in, you know, those like shaker, those like blender cups for like protein shakes?
Okay.
That have the whisk ball in them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're like plastic cups and they have like a whisk ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about? They're automated. They have like a little they're battery powered or something.
No. Like the ones you get, like if you do like, like they sell them everywhere. They're like blender bottles or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
No, you don't know what I'm talking about.
I kind of know what you're talking about.
They're grim. They're plastic cups. For anyone who makes protein shakes knows what I'm talking about. There's, you know, like a whisk ball. Like it's like you put it in the dishwasher. It's like a whisk. But instead of the handle, it's just the ball. It's just the whisk part, just the circle.
Okay, sure. I'm with you.
No, you're not. That's crazy.
Kind of. Keep going. Okay, so you're doing eggs in a cup of this nature.
Yeah, and then you shake them, and it's like the fastest way to make scrambled eggs, and I do it the night before, and then I just pour it out.
Oh, see, I can one-up you. Don't even bother scrambling them anywhere. Crack the egg into the pan and get your whisk and whisk it up really fast on a medium-hot pan. Just don't turn the heat up too high. I'll take a full step out of your way.
No, because I do it the night before and then I can just go in the morning.
How is that any different though? You still have to get the, oh, so you just pour the, you made the eggs in the thing, you keep it in the fridge and then you just pour it into the pan?
Yes.
Okay. But you could just crack the eggs directly into the pan, what I'm saying. Then you've saved a cup and then you've saved.
I don't think that's as good. I don't think that's right form.
It's probably, it is poor form. My dad would say it was poor form too.
Poor form. Very, and I know you're supposed to cook eggs over very low heat. They're supposed to take like a half an hour, which, you know, nobody's got time for that.
No, then they're gross. Then they taste like Disney World eggs where they're like those watery, fluffy eggs. Blech. I don't like it. No. I do not like low heat cooked eggs. It's too, they're too, really? Like, they're too wet tasting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I've got two kids that only eat scrambled eggs. And no, that's not fair. I've got one who can go either way. One who only eats scrambled eggs, one who only eats fried eggs.
Oh, that's nice. See, but I'm glad you're making eggs for your kids every morning. Oh, yeah. I did a poo-poo platter of breakfast this morning. This was the weirdest breakfast.
Wait, so we both had poo-poo?
Yeah, poo-poo. Yeah. No, it was so weird. I don't understand. Sometimes I get on this like clean out the fridge mode and or freezer. So I gave them each. I had this box of chicken nuggets that was taking up too much room in my freezer because I don't have a very big freezer. But there were only two left in there. So each kid got one chicken nugget. Then they got a little bit of, they got a teeny tiny slice of like a Kringle that was also taking up too much room in my freezer.
I love that.
Then they got a couple berries and then they got half a bagel with cream cheese.
That's not a poo-poo platter. Poo-poo platter has fire.
Okay.
It's a charcuterie.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just called it a smorgasbord of breakfast this morning.
It's a smorgasbord. But... You know, my mom used to call it. Should we call it Musco?
Oh, Musco. Musco. Oh, I love your mom saying Musco.
We're having Musco tonight.
Musco. So, we have Musco a lot of nights.
Charcuterie platter. Okay.
Okay. I actually have a hack that I've been doing that I've been wanting to save that's been so good. It's like my go-to meal now. Because did I ever tell you that I had never had ramen before? Like, I didn't really know what it was. I had heard people speak of it, but I just like missed it for some reason.
Ramen's one of my favorite foods.
Right. Okay. Well, I know because you like salt and stuff like that, but I love chicken noodle soup. I just had never had ramen. I just missed it. But anyway, so I got all this ramen. And then what I do is when I'm boiling the water to make the ramen, I put in broccoli or like, you know, usually for my kids, just broccoli. But if I'm making it for us, I'll put in like broccoli or bean sprouts while I'm boiling the water. And then I cook the ramen, super easy. And then I add rotisserie chicken like into, I make everyone a giant bowl and just put in rotisserie chicken and scallions and cilantro. So you do this?
Yes, all the time.
Okay, well, I'm new to this game. I just thought I just invented it.
No, it's ramen. It's, yeah, I do it all the time. And then did you do the egg?
But like zhuzhed up ramen. So wait, no, how do you do an egg?
Like you just do the soft boil eggs.
Okay, so you have to soft boil an egg in a different pot is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, okay. I have an egg maker, so I put it in an egg maker, but yeah.
Oh, that's a and nice little way
like
to.
You have like a little half egg on it. And you know what is the best also? What? If you're like avoiding carbs. You know those like miracle noodles that are like 20 calories?
No.
Yeah, you do. They're like a weird yam.
If you yes. I've seen those. Yes.
They make a ramen that is amazing. It's really hard to find theirs, but like if you can find it, it is the best thing ever. Oh my gosh, it's delicious.
I'm just enjoying good old 30-cent ramen. I mean, it is like it's a game changer.
Oh wait, you're so starting funny. With like. Like the generic, you're not doing like a nice ramen. You're doing
no.
Like
I'm literally doing like the little chicken packs with the noodles. They're so easy to cook. One, they're very tasty. I like it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
I think it looks it's expensive these days.
It is. Oh, anyway,
I'm just banking cash over here, Kirsten.
Just a ramen. Okay.
Okay. Next question: what was the first thing you did this AM? Like literally the first thing.
First thing I did this morning, what time does AM start?
What do you mean? AM, like you open your eyes.
Well, I mean, I woke up at 4:30 to go to the bathroom. Does that count?
Oh, okay. No, that's terrible. I'm so sad that you do that.
I'm still a little jet lagged.
Oh, yes, you are. That's right. You're in different.
First thing when I woke up this morning, I turned off the alarm.
Oh, good one. The burglars?
Huh?
Keeping the burglars out.
Yeah, I turned off the burglar alarm so
you're
that
really
I
could log out.
But no, and I woke up my son. He refuses to use an alarm clock.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We have to do that. That's a big thing in our family, too, is waking everyone up. And they all have their different times. And the most annoying thing, too, is when they're like, oh, 5 more minutes. And then you're like, well, what am I supposed to do in 5 minutes? I've got to go to the other side of the house, do something for 2 minutes so that I can walk back to your side of the house to then go fight with you to wake up.
Well, I set my alarm for 6:15, which is when Hugh wanted to wake up. Mm-hmm. But I kind of dozed for like 4 minutes. And so by the time I got there, I said, it's 6:20. And just, I said 6:15.
No, don't you love that? Like, another reason they could be angry with you, right?
You're wanting to sleep for 5 more minutes. So no, the first thing I did was disappoint my child this morning. How about you?
Safe space. I believe I did that too. Yes, we had a moment this morning.
And then I served dog poop to him to make it up for it. And then cheese that smelled so bad I had to leave. It's when we've had a great day.
I know, it's a big day. No, well, you were talking about airlines. I actually had applied for some sort of refund because all of our flights were canceled too. And I was so excited. It said your refund status. I just got 4 emails and it said, thanks for your request. Since you accepted the new flight because your flight was delayed, we are unable to refund you. That's all they said. So out of luck.
Ugh.
That was a fortune. Okay. What is your most hated household chore?
I have to, it's not really a chore that I do that well, but our cabinets are like always disgusting.
Oh, organizing our cabinets?
No, not organizing them. Like they're white and they're just dirty. Like,
oh yeah, I think it happens to everyone.
I know, but I feel like cleaning, I'm like, I just avoid it and avoid it and avoid it, and finally, like, I'm like, I'm doing this, but I hate it. And the whole time, I'm like, I don't know. I'm always thinking like, how long are these cabinets gonna last? So,
I guess you could just paint them.
No, I did paint them. It's a huge deal painting cabinets.
Oh yeah, it's a huge deal. Totally. Okay, you're up.
Okay, Graham, what shoes are you wearing right now?
Tennis shoes. It's sad. I feel like I've become an orthopedic old lady. I'm wearing my cool workout gear. I think I told you about that. I've recently acquired.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're wearing like,
I'm ready to exercise.
You're wearing like business shoes, not leisure tennies, if you will.
No, I don't
fashion.
Even own.
What do you call them? Fashion tennies.
I don't own those. I need to get some.
I do too.
I don't have that. I'm like not hitting that mark. I respect it. I don't know. My thought is like, if you're going to be dressed up, maybe put on a pair of like heels or something.
No, but I get, and that's me too. I'm like, put on or like put on like a cute pair of like loafers or flats or something. But like, then when I see people in sneakers, it is really cute. They look really cute.
Yeah. And they're probably able to do things and get things done. It actually, it's grown on me. I like the trend a little better now.
Yeah. We got to start doing that. Hey, Graham. So what is your best guilty pleasure song?
Ooh, guilty pleasure song. I'm really enjoying right now Shivers by Ed Sheeran. You know, I like top 40, all that kind of silliness. So that's a good one. Yeah, I do like Shivers.
Okay. Graham, what is the one piece of clothing you're embarrassed you still own?
Embarrassed that I still own. I know you want me to say it's my denim jumpsuit, but I did actually give that away.
Your conjugal visit jumpsuit?
Yes. I thought that was cute.
It was not cute. It was cute for conjugal visit.
The most embarrassing piece that I still own. Well, I guess I wear my bathrobe way too much. Like one day it's going to come back at me.
Your
like,
bathrobe is so ugly, by the way.
I know, right?
Like, I can't believe you put a picture of yourself on Instagram wearing that bathrobe. Graham's bathrobe. Graham is a really good dresser.
Well, and but it's you do. Warm.
And like, unlike me, who like will just like wear sweats or workout clothes, like Graham like actually like gets herself together and looks nice
every now.
And then your bathrobe looks like.
I know, but I like thought it was a funny video.
Someone who lost their job in the 70s, like a man who's overweight. Like
I know. It wasn't a very flattering video. I know, and I rarely post, but it's just real. That's what I woke up, and that's
I know, but
our
like,
Easter
can't
morning.
You get a cute bathrobe? Like, why do you have to wear one that's like, it's nope. like just unattractive?
Because I don't want to be able to feel weather through it. Like, sometimes I need something that's very, very thick. That's
mine is so thick, and it's still very cute. And you know where I got it? I got it at Pajamagram. Isn't that random?
Oh, Harrison once sent me a Pajamagram. I was so mad. That's really random. I can't believe you got something
there. It's so, oh my gosh, cozy bathroom. It's amazing. But it's like navy and it has like a cute herringbone thing. But yeah, it's fleece. It's so warm. Sometimes it's too warm. You can't feel weather through it. And I don't have to look so sad like you. Okay. Graham, bowling or putt-putt?
Bowling, no question. See how fast that was? I'm a nuts o bowler. I love bowling. When you grow up in Long Island, you bowl a lot. I think the sound, we could do a whole episode on my love of bowling. I love when it's freezing cold outside and you go into like a steamy bowling alley and everyone kind of looks up for a second and then goes back to their bowling. I love the sound of like balls hitting pins in the bowling alley.
Smell of paired shoes.
I know. I love like I love the shoes. I love trading out your shoes. I love like putting my hands on that little air blower to dry them off. It's like, I think it's so fun. I love bowling alley food. I love the lighting structure. I love everything about bowling alleys. I find them to be so comforting. It's like getting a hug.
Oh my gosh, I think bowling is so boring.
Going to a bowling alley is literally like putting on my bathrobe. I will bowl with, and I'm not even a great bowler. I'm a fine bowler, but
actually an excellent bowler. It's my sport.
I could see that.
I would have answered putt-putt. We went putt-putt. We went putt-putt. Sorry, we went to a putt-putt course. Over spring break. There's one in Florida by my parents' house. They had real alligators. It was very exciting. So much fun. And Boots was an excellent putt-putt player. And he's not that great of a golfer. And I'm like, you really should putt-putt more. And he's like, yeah, should I like bring business colleagues out? Like, you want to play 18 holes?
We can go to the windmill and the boot.
Like other people go to the country clubs, but we go to the putt-putts.
That would actually see, but I think people like that are creative. That's the type of person I would give my business to. It's someone who invited me to putt-putt. Not for
all
just like
real
some
business is done on the putt-putts.
I mean, to me, that would be someone who thinks outside the box.
Oh, I know. Well, yes, we had a great game. It was honestly, this putt-putt place was amazing, and their chain. They were called something. Anyway,
was like an exclusive putt-putt, you know, the way they do, like, you really had to apply for
the Augusta National of putt-putt.
Yeah, putt-putt. It was like super hard to get into. No kids allowed. Now that's what we need. That's $1 million idea.
Oh, maybe. Well, no. You know what, too? How about this? I actually like, you know, when people have like those sports that you can play, like lifetime sports or whatever, like, you know, basically golf and tennis people play
or pickleball all these days,
all the variations of tennis now, like pickle and paddle. And we learned about some new kind of tennis, pop tennis or something.
Oh my gosh, never heard
they were
of
all
it.
Playing it in Florida. Pop tennis, it's the craziest thing. They just keep like changing the racket slightly and invent a whole new sport. But anyway, here's the problem. I feel like as a woman, I like need to play tennis to make friends. And I hate tennis. And you know, I have no depth perception. I'm a terrible tennis player. I actually am pretty good at golf, but like I don't have time. Like who has 4 hours to like go leisurely walk around a park? Like it's not going to work, you know?
Right. Never.
So there you go. Why don't women get together for like putt-putt?
I know. Well, exactly. That would be a nice, because it's a nice amount of time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could play 18 holes in like 30 minutes.
That's true. And you're out and you're walking and there's things to laugh about, like when the steam comes out of the dragon's nose.
Yes. Yeah. And then if you have time, you can feed the alligators. It's great.
Yeah, and then you can have a snack at the snack bar. I don't understand why more women don't bowl, to be honest. But
there's a lot of reasons women don't bowl.
Yeah, because bowling's amazing.
If I had known, I would have taking you bowling when you came to visit. We have a really nice bowling alley here. We have two, Graham, not to brag, but we have Bowlerama, which is like the fun classic bowling alley. But then there's one called Pinstripes.
Was it duck pin bowling?
No, it's just like swanky. Like get it like pins.
Oh,
bowling pins.
Yeah,
and it's like a swanky bowling alley. And it's like in the fancy mall. It's very high-end bowling. They have like a cocktail bar there.
Well, every bowling alley has a cocktail bar.
Yeah. But this isn't like pub food. This is like, it has like a nice restaurant in it. Anyway, high-end bowling, Graham.
I love it. These are good questions. I've learned a lot today about you.
Okay, well, I've got one more question for you. And this is one that I've honestly, I don't struggle with this, but it's like the answer is so clear to me. I'm surprised that both products even exist.
Okay.
Diet Coke or Coke Zero?
Hate them both.
Shut up.
Yeah, I don't drink Diet Coke. I don't drink soda.
at all.
My husband drinks like 40 for you. His answer would be Diet Coke. I mean, I have to stockpile it for him. I'm so sad. Honestly, I feel like I'm poisoning him every time I buy a case of them. Like it's his thing. It's his habit. He drinks maybe about like 4 or 5 Diet Cokes a day. And yeah. I think to myself, like, this is really sad because I don't know. I feel like I'm watching you do something bad, but you don't really have any other bad habits. So yeah. It's kind of, that's an existential crisis for me is what do I do? I feel like I'm aiding and abetting.
I mean, I feel like they're worse habits to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. Time will tell.
Oh, well, but it's interesting. Does he know Coke Zero is way better than Diet Coke?
Yeah, I would think Coke Zero is made with Splenda or something or Stevia. What's the difference? I don't even know.
I don't know. It's better.
Okay.
I don't know why it's better.
Okay. How about this? If I'm eating like fast food or Chipotle or something like that, I actually do like a few sips of a Diet Coke. But I don't care. I'm neither here nor there.
Yeah. I have them very rarely.
Yeah. But I don't crave one. I would never like go seeking one.
No, but what happened is we got a little beverage fridge. And now I'm like developing a taste for Coke Zero because you know why? Because I have one in my office now. I have a little beverage fridge in my office because my office is actually the guest room.
That's so fun.
Well, except for like I didn't used to drink soda. Now I'm drinking soda. I got to knock it off. Anyway.
You need like LaCroix or something.
I can't drink LaCroix.
Why not?
LaCroix tears apart the roof of my mouth. Like, did I not tell you when I thought I had mouth cancer? But then it turned, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop drinking LaCroix for like a week, and like 3 days later it all went away, but like I was developing like a rash in my mouth from LaCroix.
Okay. I'm not sure that's been documented, but
no, I know it's true because it's something about like in the metal too, because I can drink like Perrier or whatever, like if it's in a can, in a bottle, that's fine. It's like in the metal.
Okay, that is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. On that note, everyone, I think we have covered a lot of interesting questions.
We have so many frequently asked. I can't tell you how many times people ask me my thoughts on LaCroix in a can.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back in a few weeks with another scintillating episode.
Welcome home.
And that's all we have from Kirsten and Graham. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Welcome Home. If you're interested in hearing more from the iconic best friend duo, please subscribe, tell your friends about us, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook for giveaways and other exciting updates. Until next time, welcome home.